letting your spine be straight, alert, upright. The spine is like this wonderful column that holds up the body. You want to keep that column alert and upright, strong. And then around that, you want to relax as much as possible. So there's a balance of both alertness and relaxation. You might slowly kind of take your awareness and travel it up your spine. Maybe making some very subtle, small adjustments to your spine so that your spine is balanced in how it holds the weight of the body. And then around that spine, to take your few long, slow, deep breaths, filling your torso with air, and then as you exhale, relaxing everything that's around that column of your spine. Letting your shoulder blades relax down your back. Breathing deeply into your chest, your front chest, to open, stretch your chest. And then relaxing down your shoulder blade area, settling back on your seat. So just stay open in your chest. Relax your belly. If you have a belt on that's tight, you might loosen it. But let your belly hang forward, soft. And the more your belly hangs forward, the more you might need to shift your weight back slightly. So you stay balanced on your sitting bones. And if you're able to keep the belly relaxed and soft, then it can be like this inflated balloon which supports you, supports your attention, supports the upper torso. If you can relax your stomach, but then pretty quickly it gets tight again, don't worry about it, just then leave it tight. And then take a few more slow, long, deep breaths. As you breathe in deeply, notice if there's any places in your torso that are held back, where there's resistance or tension, keeps you from really freely expanding outwards in all directions. And if there are any places of holding in the body like that, in the chest, the diaphragm, the stomach, the back, shoulders, take your breath and breathe into that held place, like a massage. Breathing in and out through it. As you exhale, relaxing and letting go. And then let your breath return to normal. Letting your breath breathe itself. The breath breathes itself. Let yourself get into the breathing. Let yourself be really close to the sensations of breathing. Feeling each in-breath and each out-breath. Like snowflakes, no two breaths are the same. One of the ancient techniques in Buddhism for developing mindfulness of the breath, meditation on the breath, is to count the breath. One way to count is to start with the exhalations, and for each exhalation, give that exhalation a count. Maybe fill the exhalation with one long count. One. And then the next exhalation you do the second count, two. And you maintain the count up to 10. 10 exhalations you count. And then you start over again at one. And if you lose count, don't worry, just start again at one. If all you ever get to is one over and over again, that's okay. If you get to 32, you notice it, start again at one, without any comment. Give one count for each exhalation, letting go of your thoughts and concerns as you exhale, counting. And then on the inhalation, stay there for the breath. Feel the inhalation. Let that inhalation arise in awareness into the silence of your mind, of your heart. Counting from 1 to 10. Developing your concentration with the breathing by maintaining the count. If you find yourself getting sleepy, sit up straighter. You might also open your eyes. Maybe have them pointed down 45 degrees towards the floor in front of you. Starting over again at one whenever you need to. Maintaining whatever extra effort is needed so you can stay on track with the counting. Coming back to your counting. need to worry how well you're doing, how poorly. Just matter-of-factly, whenever you can remember, begin again with the counting of the exhalations. There are some variations to counting that some people do. One is some people count, give one count, the same count, to both the in-breath and the out-breath. So one, one, two, two. And that helps them stay more on track, they say. Some people will do it for quite a while with on the exhalation. And then after they've gotten somewhat stabilized on the breath, and you might switch and just do the inhalation, just count the opposite of what they're doing. And that could kind of give it a little more strength again. It's a helpful technique if the mind is very agitated or scattered. It helps keep you on track. For some people, they don't like to do it. Some people do it a lot, then it becomes a habit. It becomes kind of mechanical and a habit of the mind. You have to always be on the lookout for something like this becoming mechanical or habitual. Whatever you do in your meditation should have a little bit of feeling of being alive, being kind of organic, or as opposed to mechanical. So you have to kind of infuse it with yourself, part of yourself, kind of invest part of yourself, give part of yourself to the practice so it stays alive rather than mechanical. Generally, for people who in the Vipassana tradition who might count their breath, it's usually done for a while until you become somewhat stabilized, centered, present, and then the counting is let go of in favor of just being present for the breath as it is. The counting kind of is more of a concentration practice, and if you keep it up for a long time, when the concentration gets strong, then you might continue developing concentration more than developing the mindfulness. So those of you who are new to the counting, never done it before, you can add it to your bag of tricks and use it when you think it might be useful. Be careful you don't sit down to meditate and you have too many tricks up your sleeves to try out, and then you're kind of confused about which one's the right one. So that was a little bit about counting. So I'd like to suggest a variation for the walking meditation. Again, continue with the walking meditation, coordinating your steps with the breathing, which is usually not done in Vipassana. But again, but doing it that way is a way of staying connected to the breath as we're developing the breath, staying with the breath through a whole day. It also helps with the concentration practice. And in general, walking meditation is a little bit more of a concentration practice for people than sitting practices. On retreats, when we go back and forth between Vipassana, between sitting and walking, it's said, you know, that walking can be just as good of a mindfulness exercise as sitting is, and it certainly can be. But for a lot of people, it works out that actually the walking tends to be a place where you develop a little bit more concentration, and then come back and we bring that concentration with us back into the cushion to do the mindfulness practice. But coordinating steps with the breathing is particularly so. It's a concentration practice. And so there's two ways you can do it. See which one kind of you feel called upon to do, seems right to you. The first way is I recommended this morning, and that is on the inhalation, lift your foot, and then on the exhalation, move your foot forward and put the foot down and shift your weight. And then do the same thing for the other foot. The variation of that you might want to try, especially if you feel yourself fairly settled and present, is to it's a little bit slower, and that is, you do on the inhalation, you lift your foot, but not completely off the ground. You lift your foot almost off the ground, so maybe just your toes are still touching, and then you kind of hold your feet there for a moment, kind of stay still, and then exhale. And then on the next inhalation, you lift it all the way off the ground, move your foot forward, and then on the exhalation, you shift your weight and put your foot down. Put your foot down and shift the weight. So each step gets two full cycles of breathing. And it takes a little bit more concentration to pay attention to the second one because it's more involved and more complicated. So you might try that and see what that's like. The main reason, there's two reasons I'm telling you to do this, instructing this today, is one is just to get you familiar with some various ways that you might do walking meditation, but more significantly, just as kind of as a way of keeping you with the breath as much of the day as possible. So it becomes maybe by the end of the day it's become much more of a habit to stay with it. So we'll do that for half an hour, and I'll ring the bell at 2:40. And at 2:45 we can start the next sitting. She pointed out to me that in that we are organic life forms, we're made up of carbon molecules, carbon compounds, and that and so are plants and animals and all that. And that we get our carbon organic compounds from the plants and animals we might eat. And the animals tend to get it from, sooner or later they've gotten it from plants. And plants get their carbon through carbon dioxide through the air. And so mostly, in that we're organic, carbon-based organic living entities, mostly we're just solidified gas. That there is gas, carbon dioxide, kind of circulating around, and the plants have this amazing ability of breathing it in and taking it in from the atmosphere and transforming it into these organic molecules that then become the plant and the structure of the plant. And they certainly take up some minerals from the ground, but the bulk of a plant is the carbon molecules, made up of carbon, and which it comes from the air. And then we kind of exhale, and we exhale carbon, monoxide, or CO2. And the plants take it in, and they also then take it in and also produce oxygen in exchange. And so there's this wonderful, so the gas, what happens through respiration, is really essential for our life. We're mostly just kind of solidified air of some form or other. The most religious experience I had in college, and in all my college and graduate classes I took, was my botany class. And when I started to understand something about the cycles of nutrients, and especially the cycles of oxygen and CO2, and I remember leaving the botany class and looking out in the courtyard of the trees in awe, and wondering, you know, that where I ended and the plants began, in that it was so obvious that I needed those plants to be alive, to produce oxygen. I could do without a kidney, I could do without some fingers, with an eye, a lot of things that I think are pretty important here that I could manage fine without, but I can't manage at all without the existence of the plants that are out there making the oxygen. And I remember standing there, kind of stunned by that kind of simple realization, and that, you know, where is the beginning and ending of life? How are we connected? And the breath is one of the places that connects us to the wider life of who we are. Someone said that we breathe something like 23,000 times a day. I don't know if it's that many times, but we certainly breathe a lot. And maybe because we do it so often, we tend to take it for granted. And we tend to take less for granted the food and drinks that we consume. But we need them less than we need the oxygen that we breathe. I'm also fond of the little cute little fact that the words spiritual inspiration or spiritual aspiration, all those words have the word spiritus in it, Latin word spiritus, which also means to respire, to breathe. So there's something about very essential to spiritual life, something very essential about spiritual life that has to do with the breath. And being centered in the breath, being aware of the breath, feeling our own breath, and feeling through the breath, perhaps, even if just an act of imagination, through our breath, feeling ourselves connected to the wider world, which supports us. So the breath is, in most spiritual traditions that I know of, put a big emphasis on the breath. The breath is a really important thing to be in touch with, to be aware of. So certainly that's the way it is in Buddhism. So here we are spending a day on the breath, breathing mindfully. As we enter the world of the breath more carefully and can actually able to sustain some concentration on the breath, what happens as we stay concentrated is the normal preoccupations of the mind are not being fed. Normally we kind of off and running, you know, with all the different thoughts and ideas. But as we stop chasing after all the thoughts and ideas, it can stay with the mind, the primary focus of attention being the breath, the mind becomes simpler and simpler. And it isn't so, after a while, it's not even that we are chasing after great abstract ideas, but we're not even getting involved in simple concepts, like such simple concepts as me, or such simple concepts as my body, or my pain. There's a lot of concepts through which we kind of see the world, but it takes effort to kind of conjure up those concepts and then see the world through them, through the filter. And as we get more and more concentrated, those kinds of concepts, that kind of distracted thinking, becomes less and less. And the breath begins opening up to, not the breath opens up, but we open up to a very, very different way of experiencing ourselves and life around us. The solid ideas we have, this is who I am, which are kind of ingrained very deeply into our psyche. You know, this is my body here. But my body is an abstraction. And so if we see ourselves through that abstraction, even though it's relatively true abstraction, that this is my body, it actually can keep us removed from experiencing the body as it actually is itself, because we tend to see it through the filter of what that concept means for us. So there's many ways of experiencing the body directly. And when the fixed ideas of the body begin dissolving, then you can actually feel your body without feeling necessarily any solid boundaries around the body. The body kind of feels very diffuse to the world around it. And you might feel particular sensations or particular flows of energy going on in the body, but it doesn't seem to have any obvious kind of coherence in the way that the concept has coherence. And it can be a little bit disconcerting for a while to feel the normal orientation kind of fall away. But the more deeply you can get into the breath, this is one of the ways to begin letting the thinking mind relax very deeply, and we can have a very different experience of who we are. It can often come with a sense of well-being when we stop living in the world of concepts. Much of our lack of well-being comes from the ideas we have about what should be and what shouldn't be and what can be. And when we stop having ideas, we stop forming attitudes, when we stop having belief systems about how things are that we see the world through, and just let our experience of life be kind of unmediated by attitudes and beliefs and things, it tends to bring, for most people who are relatively healthy, it tends to bring a lot of joy and delight. And so the breath itself is a vehicle to this very deep potential within all of us for a lot of joy and delight. And you might find, as you get more and more close to the breath, more intimate to the breath, that you might feel kind of ripples of delight or ripples of joy kind of emanating from the breath or somehow associated with the breath. But it requires kind of staying with the breath close enough so that we kind of stop chasing after our thoughts and our ideas, our concepts. So take a comfortable but alert posture. And for part of this next sitting, so you start off with the assumption, it's okay even to have it as a belief, a working hypothesis, that you're going to experience joy as you sit here with your breath, that's a possibility. And maybe you don't even know what that joy is going to be like, what it's going to feel like. Maybe it's going to be different than any kind of joy you've had before. Because the joy of meditation is something that wells up from inside for no apparent reason. It doesn't need to have some idea or concept associated with it or some fulfillment of some great goal. So closing your eyes softly, and then take 3 or 4 deep breaths, and then as you exhale, silently to yourself, do the great mantra of "Ah." Each time you go "Ah," open yourself up for the possibility of delight. And then let your breath return to normal. And then you might, if it doesn't feel too contrived or forced, have a little half smile on your face. Lift up the corners of your lips just a teeny bit. And then settle into your experience of breathing. Letting the experience of breathing, the breath, well up from inside of you, expand outwards. And if you'd like to adjust your breath a little bit, you may, changing a little bit the pattern or breathing a little more fully or whatever. It's breathing in such a way, perhaps, that maybe there's a little bit more pleasure in how you breathe, enjoyment or comfort. Maybe a fullness of breath feels pleasant in the inhalation as you slowly expand and fill the body. Or maybe breathing out slowly, the release, the aha, as you breathe out. Maybe there's some little bit of pleasure, pleasantness as part of that. If you feel any pleasantness or pleasure in any moment or point in the cycle of breathing, appreciate that. Allow that to be there. If you feel nothing pleasant at all, that's okay. Part of the function of breathing is not only to bring you air to the oxygen or into your body, but also is to keep your body limber. The alternating, expanding and contracting of the breath, of breathing, kind of like a little massage the body gets. Perhaps as you breathe in and out and feel the expansion and contraction, you can perhaps feel the delight or the pleasure or the satisfaction of that experience, breathing in and out. Part of developing concentration in the breathing is certainly focusing on the breath and staying connected to it. But it's also important is to, around the edges of your breath or around the rest of your body, to have a sense that you're participating with the breath, or to have a kind of a sense of allowing for something to happen. Allow for the possibility of something to happen. Allow for the possibility of joy or delight, contentment, ease. You have to make room for that to so that it can arise. If you're staying a little bit with the breath and you get wander off into your thoughts, then there's no room for some other possibility to arise. Stay with the breathing, feeling it carefully. If there's anything pleasant or pleasurable or about the breath, allow yourself to appreciate that. Let that pleasantness pull you into the breath. Let the breathing, perhaps like a bellows, strengthen that pleasantness or pleasure, delight. Relaxing the boundaries of your body, the boundaries of your sense of self. Relaxing your beliefs and attitudes to allow for some new possibility to come welling up from within the breath. Staying with the breath, each breath, one after the other. Let go of whatever thoughts that come up, especially as you breathe out, let go. As you breathe in with a sense of allowing something besides thinking to enter into the silence. If you feel any joy or delight, even the most simple hints of it, allow for the possibility for it to grow. Make room for it. If you feel no joy or delight in the breath, then still, stay with the breath the best you can. but allow for the possibility of something which is not to your knowing to arise. Be open to the unknown. Stay connected with your breathing. Allow for the possibility of ease to arise. Possibility of being at ease with yourself. Just breathing in and out. Each time your mind wanders off, let the breath be your guide back in again. It may be as if the exhalation is a slide and you're sliding back into the breath on the exhalation. It's a sensual world of breathing. Allow yourself to enter into the sensual world of all the various sensualities, sensuous feelings and sensations connected to breathing. So let's take a short period for walking meditation, or just a break. Let's start again in 15 minutes. In 10 minutes, I'll ring the bell. And you might want to walk a little bit faster than you normally do, just to get more energy as we come to the end, if you feel there's a need for that. And but again, just stay connected to your breathing, whatever way you do the walking meditation at the end, this last sitting, this last walking period. You might want to go back to the way we did it the first time, which is just wander around aimlessly. But just stay connected to your breath the whole time. Or you can do it the more kind of structured way I talked about too, where you coordinate your steps with your breathing. And then we'll come back for the last sitting, which will be much more simple and many of you review, but kind of more focus on the straight Vipassana instructions for the breath. So enjoy your walk.